Hi there. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and very happy to be here on this Friday night. It's very rainy here in LA. I don't know. It just puts me to sleep. So I guess it's appropriate that I have someone named Dr. Dream on my show tonight. No, just kidding over there. I'll definitely wake up. Don't worry. It's my personality to wake up when I'm live. But anyway, I have been working hard all day, so I haven't been sleeping, even though the rain, as I say, puts me to sleep. So my guests tonight are Laura Eisenhower, one of my favorite people, actually, and Dr. Dream. And I don't know him as well, but I imagine anyone who associates with Laura has got to be gangbusters, basically, and a wonderful person. So as far as an introduction, let me say that you can go to the front page of Project Camelot and click on the guest bio, and I've got quite a bio page set up for them there for both of their bios, and hopefully that will cover most of the information that you need to know. But I am assuming that most of the listeners will be familiar already to some degree, at least with Laura. You know, we're going to find out more. So why don't we do this? Laura and Dr. Dream, why don't you take turns introducing yourselves in whatever way you see fit, and then we'll sort of go from there.
Great.
Yeah, and who wants to go?
Well, I don't know. Oh, I'll go first. I just see a little thing here. Yeah, my name is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and I consider myself a galactic historian, a cosmic mythologist, a global alchemist, and I'm just really just an advocate for the Earth, for Gaia, for the return of the divine feminine, unity consciousness, the balancing of the masculine and feminine energies on the planet right now, and just exposing the deeper layers of the military-industrial complex and everything that's going on in secrecy that we really need to know about. So that's just a little bit about me.
Love it. This is Dr. Dream. And in addition to being a holistic healing practitioner and really specializing in multiple modalities, I work with 16 to 18 different tools and modalities. I also have the honor of traveling around the world speaking about the nature of reality and doing a group energetic that I started 3 years ago called the Universal Love Galactivation. And in the last 36 months, we've gone to 99 cities around the world and done, we facilitated 159 of these experiences now for thousands of people. So exciting stuff.
Wow, that's fascinating. So you've gone to 99 cities in how long?
36 months. In 3 years, we've done this.
That's incredible. Kudos to you. That's got to be a pretty strenuous travel schedule.
You know, because of the nature of the experience, which is a very high vibe energetic, it's been a real treat for me to do it, and it's given me more than it's taken out of me, that's for sure.
Okay, well, I, you know, yeah, sounds very cool. So what I'd like to do, I guess, you know, I know that you, well, I don't know, I don't want to offend you, so, but I think you're a couple, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're definitely a couple.
Okay. So, you know, when I say, you know, when I relate to both of you, you know, I'm inviting both of you on my show, and you both invited me on your show, your joint show, which was, we had a lot of fun tonight, I have to say. You know, what I'd like to do here is kind of go places that the two of you would like to go, and I will try, you know, because I've got two people to sort of juggle here, and I'd like to both of you, you know, one after the other, and so we don't kind of all jump in, because we're all, I think, very verbal. Thing, but it just takes a little management. So what I'd like to do is basically kind of start off with what you think of what happened during, you know, let's see, you know, December 21st, 2012, and how you passed that time, maybe a few days before and a few days after, however you want to relate to that. And whether you had any comments about 2013 and the last month or so, and how you've been experiencing that for yourself, and also, you know, how people have been coming up to you, and what you've been getting back from other people. So we could start off with Laura, and then we can go to Dr. Dream.
Well, great. First of all, I want to thank you for having me on. You're absolutely one of my favorite people, and it's just always so wonderful to be in your company. Well, to talk about the December 21st this time, after letting go of thoughts of being in Egypt with you and Michael Tellinger and everybody, we decided to stay close to home and, you know, be with our children. I have two boys that are twins. They're 14, and he has a daughter who's 12, and so our families are merged, and we all got to spend that time together. For us, it was really just building up. The energies were really building up, and I was feeling just, wow, just a lot moving through, just really paying attention to the global energies and just really feeling the unification and all of us just really trying to anchor the higher dimensional energy and just, you know, stay grounded. I think a lot of us felt a little bit, you know, poked here and there like we always kind of are. A lot of us are so used to it at this point. But up until that peak time around 3:30 a.m. here or 3:14, about, I don't know, a couple hours beforehand, I started to do shuffling with my cards. I've been using them for over 20 years, you know, really working energy and just processing. That's just kind of the tool I use, you know, for my personal stuff and global stuff. So I started shuffling, and I was just sort of feeling this weird energy and just, you know, wanted to work with it. As we got closer to the peak time, the energies just, like, you know, were really kind of slamming us a bit. And so I was shuffling and asking about timelines and just, you know, what we were going through and what was the dominant forces that were really at play. And so the first reading I got based on that was a little bit disturbing because got the Tower card and then the Balance card, the Justice card, upside down, which would be, you know, absolute and total imbalance, followed by the Devil. And the Devil, of course, is not a bad card in the tarot. It depends on what's around it. So when it's with the Balance card that's upside down, that doesn't feel like a very good thing. So I'm thinking, ooh, you know, some sort of big shift, some sort of weird thing. And so I just shuffle like I do because I use it as a tool to work energy rather than look at it as a fixed anything. And I just, you know, put my consciousness out there with everybody, like you guys in Egypt, and just really just focused in on our unification, just everything that we've all been working really hard at, and just shuffled through it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Tower card came up again, this time with Death, and then Good Fortune, the Empress, the Emperor, the Sun, and the World. And it was like this major, like major arcane is like six of them. And it was just incredible. And I was just like, whoa. And it just seemed like, wow, okay, you know, we got this on track. The portals are going to open, this and that. And I know everybody was feeling this, that we're there and that we're really working this energy as well. And so around that peak point, I mean, I was literally sitting there and breathing really, really deep and feeling like I was just really in the heart of the galactic core, just taking these huge breaths, almost like, you know, one would see like just masterful breaths that I normally can't even do because I, you know, I kind of talk fast. I have a lot of nervous energy. I'm always just trying to stay grounded. But I felt this like magnetic pull into the center, and I was just breathing really, really deep and just letting the oxygen just go into my body and just anchoring myself. And luckily him and I, you know, our vibration was very harmonious. We get slammed a lot and it kind of disrupts our energies, you know, especially before events. So we got ourselves, you know, we were in a really good space as well. And we just rode through it. It felt great. And, you know, the next day it just, I just felt this high. I felt, a lot of neutrality and detachment, you know, even seeing things still being sprayed in the sky. It was like, it just didn't hook me in at all into any sort of concern or urgency like I normally feel, which is to just kind of work it. I just felt like we had really, you know, crossed over, the portals had been opened. But what I also got the sense of was like a patient with cancer, the immune system's been activated. It's strong enough to heal the cancer, but the disease is still there, sort of hanging there, kind of like this archonic etheric grid energy or the reverse Nephilim that Lisa, you know, calls it, or just that false matrix occult technology that likes to siphon our energy and use our, you know, Kundalini and all that harvests it and uses it against us. You know, I felt the portal had opened, but that was still hanging there because, you know, consciousness on so many levels in humanity is still attached to those programs. And, you know, I didn't have the terminology for it. It was just more a thought form of what I was identifying with. And, you know, after talking to you and after reading, you know, other people that I really, you know, respect their viewpoints and what they make of it, we're definitely feeling similar things, but using it, you know, different terminology for it. But yeah, so it's like there's still just a lot for us to do. But what I felt with the portal opening was that the activation has happened and that we have gotten over the hump, and it was just a huge victory. I just felt a huge victory. And beforehand, you know, after speaking at Star Knowledge conferences and going there for the Venus transits and being, you know, at the place that Andrew Bishago went to the Mars training program and viewing the Venus transit through a telescope randomly at the College of the Siskiyous because we got invited there randomly, which had nothing to do with the conference. Here I am standing there looking at the telescope, you know, in the very place that was a part of the recruitment, you know, connected to the recruitment for me to go to Mars. It was just so symbolic to be standing there looking at the Venus energy when, you know, this was all sort of a part of it. And it's been building and building and building. So just to kind of move through this and not talk too much, here in 2013, you know, there's a predominance of transiting planets in the water signs of Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And just a lot of Earth's, like Saturn being a very Earth-bound planet, you know, ruling false authority structures, but also the true authority of natural law and cosmic law. When we take that power back and we become the authority, you know, from the inspiration of our higher self and unity consciousness, which is natural law and more, you know, about the balance, we have a real opportunity to move into that territory because, you know, water is so fluid and it forces us to really get in touch with our emotions and our feelings. So these patriarchal sort of planets, you know, when afflicted, that are patriarchal, like Saturn and Mars, are getting all this water energy. So it'll either cause a major reaction in people who are resisting getting deeper into their soul essence, or it'll really allow, you know, this major transformation to take place within, which will change everything, you know, as within, so without. Also, a lot of solar flares are happening, which could really screw up the power grids and just the electronic controls that they've been trying to have over us. So I'm just feeling a lot of peace. You know, weird energies in the last couple of weeks, for sure, and I'm still just trying to get back to center. But I feel just an incredible amount of peace, and I just really feel that we've done an exceptional, amazing job, and I'm just celebrating so much and just feeling this family of light workers and truthers that have just been doing this for so long. And when I broke free of the attempted recruitment to go to Mars, that's when Project Camelot came about. So I just feel this really special relationship with you and just your story and just your strength. And I'm just like, I'm just really in a good place right now. That's all I can say.
Well, that's great. And it's lovely to hear all of that. Dr. Dream, do you want to answer the question as well?
Yes, I was with Laura. No. Seriously, for me, the last 3 years has been pretty unbelievable to the point that the 36 months, 99 city or 99 cities and all this, I literally called the tour of love. And so for me, what I've realized I've been doing is anchoring a lot of energy all over the place and also, you know, really going out there and assisting by, you know, teaching people to fish and not just throwing fish out there for them. And that's been the big motivation. 2012 was unbelievable on so many different levels for me, including the further integration and solidification of Sacred Union with Laura. And really, December 2012, for us, our last event for 2012 was the Star Knowledge Conference outside of Phoenix. And this was our third Star Knowledge event in 2012. It's been really positive for us. At this particular conference, between the two of us, we spoke for 10 hours. We had, you know, our exhibit booth and did sessions with people also. But it was such an incredible, powerful energy being there with Chief Golden Light Eagle and the elders and the grandmothers. And that sort of, for me, launched us as we came back to California. And it really, the end of the year and the beginning of 2013 was all about energetically opening up to so much, and for us, it just seemed to have a it's rooted in a emphasis on family, and so it was so incredible. My brother and sister-in-law and my nieces came in from New Jersey to be with us for the 21st. Of course, that evening, you know, the continuation of the 20th into the 21st, Laura and I did personal ceremony, and as she described, it was incredibly powerful. I'm still actually processing the depth of my experience that night, but needless to say, lots of moving of energies, and again, for me, it's been a personal journey of expansion and shining the light, you know, throughout my inner being to really understand the true nature of who I am and who I came here to be. And so that's what 2013 is all about for me, is just focusing the energies and this continued process of fine tuning, not resting on the laurels of whatever yesterday was about. You know, the sun rises again and it's a new day to be who I truly embody or wish to embody here. And that's been the focus, and it's been awesome. So far I'm loving this year.
Okay. Well, very good to hear from both of you on those scores. Yes, it's been a very interesting time, I must say. And I did discuss all the incoming energies that I was feeling over the holiday period, as well as the 21st of December and leading up to that, really the 12th of December on. And even before that, of course, it just was ramping up, I guess you might say. But now that we're in 2013, there is a sense that I have, and I was just wondering with the two of you whether you were kind of feeling it too. It's sort of about that there is a steadying on the planet. And what I got was that prior to 2012, the end of 2012, there seemed to be sort of a level of panic in people. And I think to some degree that seems to have dissipated. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I'm getting. Doesn't mean that there aren't still people out there. In fact, I just heard that somebody else, I'm not going to name names here, was starting to, you know, people like to blow the trumpet now, saying they know what the future brings. And yeah, they've been wrong so many times, it's just like off the charts. So I really wish people would stop doing that, but they do it anyway. And so, you know, they really want to feel that they know what's happening and what's coming. But along those lines, there seems to be a different energy out there. And I had the sense that people are going to look back at 2012 and feel that there was, as Laura said, sort of a getting over the hump feeling about it. And I just was wondering how you guys had felt about that. It sounds like maybe you tend to agree that there was, that we have achieved something, that there is a standing, that Earth is in a position now to move forward in a more positive way. That we kind of made it through the eye of the needle, if one could even call it that. That's my sense. Now, that doesn't mean the future is you know, all hearts and flowers, because unfortunately, it's probably not. In fact, there are indications there are even more serious things on the horizon. But that the humanity that became awakened up until, you know, coming up to 2012. The end of 2012, there's a sense that there was a stabilizing energy that came out of that awakening that is going to help the Earth move forward, as well as humanity in general. So I don't know how people are feeling, you know, on specifics, but I do know how my sense is. And my sense is there's a sense now to stop worrying about what's coming in the future so much as start creating the future and start, you know, living each day for the fullness that you can find there. So any thoughts on that?
Oh, gosh. Do you want to go first, Mark?
Sorry. Yeah, I'll go ahead and field this one first. Yeah, thanks. We have a holistic healing practice here in Ventura. And so I've got a lot of contact with people that are reaching out, and here's kind of what I've been seeing toward the end of last year and most certainly this month, and that's that. And these are people that I wouldn't particularly say are I'm more mainstream for this particular healing practice at the moment. And what I'm finding is people are reaching out because they know that they can change their energetic, their perspective, their whatever's going on within them that's less than comfortable. But what I'm getting in the doors are people that just have no idea really how to start that and where to go from it. But the most encouraging aspect of it is that they're waking up to the fact that they don't need to be as miserable, depressed, manic, uncomfortable, sick, whatever it is, as they currently are. And so I'm finding that to be most interesting. And then, you know, watching what I do is highly energetic with all the modalities and everything, and just watching how it feels like people are moving through things a little bit with more grace and ease, shall we say, than in years past. And so this whole idea of, you know, getting over the hump or through the eye of the needle or something like that, you know, definitely resonates with me. And I don't think it's all, you know, the yellow brick road from here. But I think that we've now have more of an energetic readily available to us to assist us in really standing in our power. I mean, that's so much of what I do, is to assist people in realizing what they have available to them without having to go get trained in anything or buy any product or anything like that, just what they innately have within them. And then watching, you know, most of those people really kind of take off with that information and knowledge, like it is self-organizing. So it's been very encouraging for me.
Lovely. Laura, did you want to say anything, add anything to that?
Yeah, I've noticed with a lot of my clients that, you know, people just really are still holding on to a lot of the programs. They're, in a sense, addicted to them, and that's what the money system has done. That's what our culture has done. I mean, if all the entities and agendas were to disappear, we'd, you know, probably annihilate ourselves just based on the damage that's been done. But that's not what's happened. I mean, the consciousness has moved through the gates, so to speak, and physical reality is catching up. That's what I notice. But, you know, there is a certain point where if it wasn't for the light workers and the exposing of truth, giving people a foundation to return to kind of identify with or sort of be curious about, to answer some of these more confusing questions about what's really going on and what's happening energetically, you know, it could have been, you know, a lot worse. So I'm just finding with people that, you know, there was a lot of nervous energy, a lot of panic as far as cataclysms and the things that they've seen in movies about 2012 and all of those kind of false memes. And so there's a lot of relief, but then, you know, a lot of people who have heard that we're going to ascend and float away, or we're just going to wake up in a new dimension, are disappointed. And I'm just thinking, this is what's so ridiculous about predictions, because it pulls our life force away from being able to create in the now. And it becomes like some sort of intelligent test where all these people that are doing predictions are trying to win some contest. Oh, I'm the one who's right. Or I'm, you know, and it just becomes sort of the superficial ego thing. About, and I'm not busting on everybody who does predictions. I think it serves us to be prepared and to, you know, have some sort of sense of what's in front of us. But when it gets to the point where people's belief systems buy into it and steal their creative energy from the moment, just like you were saying, it kind of just keeps us in this sort of manic kind of.
Thank you very much. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, talking to Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream. Laura, I think you were finishing up a couple statements right before the break related to if I could paraphrase what you were saying, basically about how people who are sort of prophesying the future tend to take people's energy, down kind of a black hole, in a sense, And that's a real danger. That doesn't mean, and I agree with you, that there has to be a balance, because this is not to badmouth certain people that are, you know, likely if a train is coming down a track and you see it and other people don't, it does behoove you to mention it so they can get out of the way or do what they need to do to prepare. But I think it's a double-edged sword, if you will. But more than anything, when people predict the future, what it needs to be is you need to step back and do it as sort of an observer and not get all wrapped up in the emotion of it and also get taken off track, because you cannot live in the future. You can only live in the now and create the future with what you do every day. So I know people who have been prepping for a negative future now for 7 years, you know. It's an interesting place to be in. Obviously, this is something they're playing out in their own mind. They curtailed their sort of impact on the rest of humanity by going into kind of a more shelter, buckled down kind of scenario, but perhaps they get, they find sustenance in other places. Perhaps they've made some close friends and built some tight communities in these places. So I'm not really putting that down. I'm just saying that it's, one needs to think carefully before going down a road where you think you're building a future based on what you think is coming, as opposed to where you are now and where, you know, on the off chance that they're correct, and also listening to other people rather than to your own inner guidance. And this is the biggest problem, is that people are not listening within, they're listening to other people, and they're letting those other people sort of guide their trajectory. And I think at some point there's going to be disappointment down the line if you do that, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, totally.
There's a bit of feedback on the line.
This is the thing about balance, and this is what you said about balance. It's just so important that, you know, people understand that these are what the lessons are all about. So when it gets really uncomfortable and people face adversity, rather than fight it or, you know, act like a victim, you know, really understand it and get the message, because it's about the right and left brain coming together, the masculine and feminine. And the feminine energies, which have been exiled, are all about embracing the mystery, getting away from the logical mind that needs to see things in order to believe it. Instead, we can focus, you know, more on our creative abilities, our ability to dream and manifest, while also balancing it with that, you know, ability to just be logical and sort of, you know, be strategic about what we think might be ahead, but also go back and come back to center so that we're also actively participating in the creative process, because reality is fluid, and anybody who thinks it's fixed and is waiting for something to happen has basically given their power away. And it's, you know, that's why balance is everything. And this is what I feel has really happened as we've gotten over this hump, is more of that stability, more of that balance. And a lot of the things that people are going through right now are their final sort of lessons, or just the stuff that needs cut away for them to just really just get into that zone, because it's within all of us, that sacred union balance of the masculine and feminine. It's all these distortions and programmings that have just thrown us out of whack and connected us into this false matrix that, you know, just wants to keep generating our energy away from our ability to manifest and create and be connected to, you know, the abundance of the universe that provides for us, because we don't need the money system. We have the abilities to just manifest and create. And, you know, we've been duped into this whole other system. And so it's just important that we understand that we have abilities when in balance and in alignment that can start to wean us off of all this and give us the opportunity to see ourselves as the most advanced technology beyond anything we can imagine.
Absolutely. Can you hear me okay right now? Because I'm trying a different sound system.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Maybe we'll kind of get rid of that feedback loop that was happening. I don't know if that this is going to help that or not. But what I wanted to say is perhaps you could talk about what your plans are for the rest of this year. You know, I don't know if you want to talk about beyond this year, but In terms of with understanding where things have been, where they've gone, and sort of out as they're emerging, where do you see going this year? And have you noticed if a change again in the sort of way people are approaching the now, even I'm going to say in terms of even the conferences, I don't know how, you know, if you've been going around and you've been touring various cities, have you noticed that the energy or the approach is different now in the conferences and the way people are coming forward? Or do you feel that a lot of people are sort of just doing the same old thing? Do you have a thought about that? Like, what's your plan? And then what do you think other people are doing?
Absolutely. As you know, it was difficult for me to take a strategic look as far as mission and life purpose for 2013 until we passed through the end of 2012. And now, having done that, I think for us, we're as far as like the conferences go. 2012 was a time for us to get maybe a little more discerning about which conferences we're doing. We're really focused on the integrity of who's putting on these events. And, you know, there was a time that for me, I just speak for myself. I mean, if I was invited to speak somewhere, I'd go. And now there's a little more of, okay, well, you know, let's talk about it and what's the reputation of this particular conference and what's the reputation of the people at the helm. And so, we've had some lessons in the last year about what works for us and how to put ourselves out there. For our mission, our integrated, mission and life purpose, what we're looking at this year is how can we reach the greatest numbers of people? And so I guess it's a little bit like I was saying before about the fine tuning of, you know, we have a certain amount of energy. We have a certain amount of time. Our family is very important to us, but we're very keyed into the why of our existence, why we're here. And so, you know, we go to a conference and maybe between the two of us, if there's 1,000 people at the conference, we connect between the 10 hours of speaking and this and that with maybe 800 of them. We're there for 4 days. And this last conference, we came back and we had put so much energy out that we were down for 3 days when we got back. So not only were we gone for 4 or 5 days away from the kids, then we come back and we're not feeling well for a few days, getting our energy back and kind of pulling ourselves together. And so I'm sort of the grounded one in how we do things and a little more. I mean, we talk and agree on everything, but a little more business-minded, strategic. Laura's, you know, the global alchemist, and I have no idea how she does everything. And being, you know, a partner and a mother, and everything she does in the public eye. But we're really just fine-tuning our approach and making sure that the decisions we're making, you know, give us the greatest reach and the greatest impact, because that's what we're here for.
Okay, and Laura.
Yeah, I've noticed, let's see, as far as people at conferences or just kind of the general vibe that I'm getting about the things that are coming up, I mean, I think there's just this incredible shift is taking place. I think a lot of people aren't ready maybe to access it, but it's almost like, you know, how people can see the good in people even if they're total schmucks? I mean, it's almost like you can just see the spirit wanting to just burst out of folks that are still maybe hanging on to ego or old attachments. I mean, I can see that. I can just see this sort of brightness in more beings than ever. You know, they might just still be in their stuff, but it's just like there's a magnetic quality where everybody's spirit, energy, and heart is much more magnified rather than the competition and just the more superficial stuff that I can see that one sees at conferences that gets really discouraging. I see, you know, less hierarchy and more just mutual respect. But it does have to do with discernment because, you know, some things take a while to die out. But as far as I'm concerned, patriarchy is crumbling, and it's crumbling faster than most people can keep up with. A lot of people are stuck in the rubble, and it's just floating around their space. They don't know where the release valve is because a lot has been released, but it's still kind of there. But all in all, you know, the shift time is really represented, you know, the pentagram turning upright again, the quintessence fifth element of spirit being the more dominant element out of all elements, which means that our spirit nature can start to mold reality rather than us being caught underneath the physical, sort of at the mercy of, you know, attacks and disease and not feeling well and poverty and not making a lot of money and just all the survival stuff and the lower chakra stuff. I see spirit just so bright and being so much more present to just shape events. And so that's really my focus in 2013 is to just be more grounded. I feel like I've been hanging by threads for most of my life. I've had really bad heart problems. You know, I've done a lot of work from the bed. I mean, I consider my bed the office because you know, sometimes can't even get out because I'm just so energetically slammed, by stuff. So to me, for me personally, it's a lot about recovery, regeneration, really getting grounded and then opening myself up to just, I don't know. I just feel like, we're just taking off. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but it just really is happening. And I feel like, you know, all the political stuff and the Obama and just anything going on in 3D world, I just can't even grasp it anymore. It just doesn't even, it never really did. It never made sense. I couldn't even pass the government test in high school. I'm, you know, coming from a political family, it's just kind of laughable because I'm just, there's just nothing there for me. But even more so as far as paying attention, It's just in a whole nother dimension. I don't even see it. It's like in the horizon. It's just so far. I still keep my eyes on it to, you know, talk about it because there's still, you know, a lot to share and just to work through and process. And I'm committed to bringing as much light into that arena as possible. But I mean, I just see that, you know, the physical reality is catching up with our consciousness and our spirit energy. And slowly but surely we are creating this incredible change. And even if people don't want to admit it, I mean, I personally can sense a lot of illumination and a lot of brightness and a lot of beings that seemed, you know, very dark and troubled before.
Well, that's very good to hear. What I was wondering is in terms of looking at the astrology of, you know, because Laura, I know you kind of, you do card readings and you also do use astrology, right?
Yeah.
And do you have anything that you want to say about the coming months for people that are listening that might help them through the next few months, whether it be how they might look at the next few months on a personal level or a political level? In other words, any particular astrological alignments or conjunctions or oppositions or whatever that people should just be sort of heads up about?
Yes, absolutely. Especially today. This is such – I'm so glad you asked this question because today is such a huge turning point on an evolutionary level for our consciousness, for the collective, for us personally. Mars, our great friend planet Mars – is making a square aspect, which means a very stressful aspect to our nodes. Our nodes represent the past and the future. The south node is the past, meaning what we came in with, the resources that we draw upon, the stuff that we, you know, really got immersed in past lives that is comfortable for us. You know how, you know, like Beethoven can play the piano at four. I mean, obviously that's past life stuff. So somebody's south node would be the things that they can fall back on. The north node represents where we're needing to go, where our soul potential is, what we're yearning to experience. And that comes a lot easier for some than others, depending on their natal chart. Sometimes for people, a lot of their planets are already there, which means that they've really just, you know, born in that level of completion and wholeness, while a lot of people are just kind of, you know, working on integrating and bringing all those aspects together. So in a chart, you know, the south node is on one end, the north node is on the other. And here today we have Mars squaring the nodes, which means Mars being the planet of will, desire, ego, also, you know, very warrior-like. And when aligned with the higher self, it's very much the spiritual warrior. We have a major choice. And because it's a stressful aspect, it can be difficult for people to make an empowered choice. Very often it can mean that people go back into old patterns or get locked into a loop or a mindset that really doesn't serve them. So it anchors them or drags them back into the south node energy, which most souls just need to move away from. Those who are sensitive enough will feel the trigger of, oh, I just can't go there. That's something I need to release. It doesn't serve me anymore. And they're ready to move forward. This is what today represents. Most beings are going to feel a push to just really let go of the old stuff on an ego level. regardless of what it is, whether it's healthy ego or not healthy ego. It's about moving forward based on the lessons and experiences. You know, for a healthy ego, it might mean creating new experiences. For an unhealthy ego, it might mean getting into more balance, you know, getting rid of the dominance, the aggression, and being more aligned with spirit. But today is a huge day for people to make choices, and a lot of people are feeling anxiety. But recognize it as, you know, something important to pay attention to, and to recognize that the anxiety is you, your higher self or your intuition saying, you know, it's time to make a conscious choice and to really pay attention to what you're doing with your will, your power, your focus and your intentions, and not to spiral backwards, but to really push yourself to let go and to adopt a new approach that is much more connected to higher values and integrity and unity. So that's today. A little bit about what's happening, and I'll just try and do this real quick. Let's see. There is going to be Uranus-Pluto squares occurring May 21st, November 1st. And what that does, it continues to break down all forms of psychological programming, all sorts of mind control that people have been under. It starts to break down the way money has dominated so many beings, and it breaks down barriers in our individual lives and also in the greater world. So Uranus-Pluto squares are great, but for some people it's very debilitating. It can be too much because it's very much revolution and rebirth. And if we fight it too much, because squares are tense aspects, which means we fight it sometimes, you know, it can cause all sorts of nervous system problems or just getting stuck in the loop of a death cycle that we can't emerge from. So when those tense moments come, May 21st, November 1st, you know, just have detachment. Don't be attached to outcomes. You know, just really allow that energy to clear the channels and to really integrate the fact that we are the creative power and force that is changing the whole game, and embrace the tension, because it's really power that's wanting to stream through us. It's the attachments that make it blocked, because everything in the cosmos is on our side. So, you know, the issues that we might have, you know, we need to recognize that it's stuff that needs to go. It's not stuff that's trying to mess with us anymore. We're really being led by the cosmos. And, you know, it's good to feel troubled by it, because if we didn't, we're still easily controlled and we're still hanging on and we're still just, you know, immersed in the matrix and just paying attention to the news and everything. And it's sort of a lower vibration panic that has nothing to do with growth or change, but more has to do with the fear that we're being fed and the deceptions that they're still going to be pulling. So one has to notice the difference between real emotional triggers and just ones that are based on news and things that are outside of ourselves and just the programming. And we're going to have a lot of assistance to break that old way and enter, you know, real anxiety, which is our bodies are wanting to transform. Our consciousness is wanting to change. This is healthy stuff. These are good triggers, you know, and it's more organic. So, you know, the more people spend time in nature, the more they connect with just things that are organic, you know, they're already in that frequency, and that'll really assist them. You know, turn off the televisions, get away as much as you can from all the EMF and just all this stuff, you know, detox and get yourself and your body into a more holistic vibe. And, you know, the tension and the things that come along will assist, rather than just the stress of, you know, chemtrails and you know, just all that kind of crap. Because we're moving away from that. We're detoxing and we're stepping away from that. There's, you know, obviously a pull into it, but you have to buy into the program, and you have to buy into the false flags and the distortions that are still lingering for any of that to even work. So instead of buying into the program, buy into the organic reality of the harmony and beauty between the masculine and feminine within, which is all about a dance. It's not a power struggle. And it's all about, you know, understanding the soul essence rather than the superficial, physical, you know, kind of stereotypical roles that have been played that have been so damaging. There's other alignments. There's a grand sextile January 29th, and it's going to involve Pluto in Capricorn, Neptune in Pisces, the moon in Taurus, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. That's going to be a huge one. I'll be posting about it closer to the time. And then also lots of solar activity, solar flare stuff. And, you know, things are going to be shaken up. So whatever people are attaching themselves to, you know, electrical power and oil, you know, all the stuff that we don't want anymore, embrace the fact that some of this stuff is getting shaken up. And that's not Armageddon stuff. You know, it's called weaning ourselves off of it and embracing something different. And it's not about, you know, camping and living in the dirt. It's about recognizing that, you know, being grounded is important, but it's not getting all primitive again. It's being grounded and awakening to the fact that we're stepping up into higher abilities that we haven't seen for thousands of years in ourselves, because we've been dumbed down, that we're, you know, awakening this junk DNA, recognizing it as the dark matter and mother womb and creative force that is going to assist us in really being able to not only be grounded but access higher dimensional energy and almost become, you know, the consciousness of time travel and teleportation with, you know, beyond even the technology. I mean, the technologies can supplement us to a certain point, but we don't want to be too reliant on technology. We want to understand that we have these abilities as well.
Okay, well, that was a great, very complete and great overview of the next coming months, and I think people would really probably appreciated that greatly. Dr. Dream, just to give you a question for yourself, you have a practice, you say, where people come to you and they're sort of in a different place than even maybe before. I'm wondering if you're sensing like more of an openness to change in these individuals, or is there, is there a lessening of the kind of anxiety that you saw in the past? And what is, you know, do you advise these people to, for example, meditate and so on? And are they embracing that idea? Is it helping them? Are you finding certain things are helping people more than others, certain suggestions? It, you know, is there any particular area that is becoming sort of a focal point, like dreams, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Excellent question. One of the things that I'm experiencing, we did a promotion recently with Living Social, and so it was different than the people that know about us and come in that are, you know, awake and aware and want to move some energy. And so I got a run of people that you know, wouldn't normally come to someone like me. And what I experienced in that time frame, and that was about, I don't know, 30 different people or something like that, is that there is not so much more of a willingness to change, but more of an awareness that change is available. More of an awareness that whatever they thought they were stuck with, whatever sort of maybe victim energies that they've pulled themselves out of, that the energies have helped sort of dislodge things for them, came with it an awareness of, I can feel better than I do. I can be happier than I am. There's something available for me that is more than what I'm experiencing now. And that's been really very encouraging for me. But I see it more as a...
Carrie, are you back yet? Well, welcome back, folks. This is Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And this is Carrie Cassidy's show. There she is.
Hi there. I was just trying to separate my cat and dog from getting into a fight here. No, they don't get in fights, but they were getting crazy. Anyway, hi, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're talking to Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream. Dr. Dream, we were kind of finishing up with your statement, but I don't know if you had a couple of other things to say about that particular, you know, answering that question, or if you wanted to move on to another one.
One of the things you asked is, you know, were there particular things that I'm, so to speak, and I'm doing hand quotations, prescribing to my clients and things like that. You know, one of the wonderful things about me being a multiple modality healing practitioner is I've got all sorts of tools available to work with people. We do quite a bit with essential oils. And, you know, everything we do, it comes from an alternative, holistic view, looking at all aspects and levels of what a person's going through. And so we've been getting some really incredible results from the essential oils, uterine tumors in the uterus, uterine fibroids going away, people canceling surgeries. It's just been a real treat to be able to help people, you know, like I mentioned before, just sort of move through their experience with a little more grace and ease. We're all under so many different pressures. I mean, just let's face it, just being an embodied human is enough pressure to just about undo any of us on some days. And so, you know, working with people that are manic depression or bipolar, and really being able to show them how they can not, you know, get rid of this energetic that they chose to carry in this life, but how to manage it. And so this is all really about taking our power back, taking control of our lives, looking at our experience and saying, well, I'll be vocal about chemtrails, but let's face it, they're not going to go away tomorrow. So I don't want to spend my time being a victim to chemtrails, Fukushima radiation, this, that, and the other, and whatever else is going to come down the pipeline. I need to find that place where I can be empowered. And I have an actual presentation called The Alchemy of Life, Raising the Frequency of Our Daily Lives. And it's all about that, how to use essential oils, how to, you know, really pay attention to what we're putting into our bodies, what we're putting into our minds, where we're focusing our attention, and creating change from that place where nobody can really stop us because we're taking control and we're not so readily giving up our power like has been the pattern in our society for so long.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. You know, it sounds like you guys are both doing a whole lot. I do wonder whether people are focusing more on the sort of problems at hand in their everyday lives, or whether they are focusing at all on things like meditation and using that energy to sort of be that energy to change their lives. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's one thing that I kind of stumbled on in Egypt and was just kind of staring me in the face a lot when we were there, was the idea. And I mentioned it on your show, and I've just been dwelling on it my own self, thinking about it periodically, that if people would allow more things to happen and to come through meditation rather than conscious thought, then I'm thinking perhaps that we would change our reality in ways that we hadn't anticipated, and that might be surprisingly positive. So I'm wondering if you guys do that, if you encourage people to meditate, and you know, in your practices.
I'll just share a quick story of. You know, how we're working with the tools. And for me, everything's about the inner journey. I mean, you know, let's turn off all the distractions of our outer experience of reality and let's go within. And so, as an example, I have a lot of people come into the practice who are ready to dive into work through, process, release their core issues. And, you know, most of that experience is highly emotionally charged. And so one of the things we do is we take the essential oil of Tulsi basil, which is holy basil from India, and we vaporize it. So they're literally inhaling vapor of the Tulsi basil, because the story about Tulsi basil is that when you're working with the holy basil, drinking it, smelling it, putting it on as a topical, it's very difficult to hold on to negative energy. So when people come in, we'll vaporize the Tulsi basil with them. That takes the negative hooks out, the negative edge out. I'll put frankincense oil on the bottoms of their feet. The bottoms of our feet have more receptors for essential oil than any other place in our body. Frankincense is all about it. It's a very high vibe oil, but it connects us to spirit and takes us out of like this general lower dense reality and sort of shoots us up out the crown chakra.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and then what we'll do is we'll some sound and vibration, a crystal bowl or chimes or something, and ask the client to just get quiet, listen, the emotional charges out, they're connected to spirit. Now, what does Source or their higher selves have for them in terms of a message? And so we're very much, you know, guiding people to look within and the inner journey and to find that quiet space, whatever that is, whether it's yoga, meditation, you know, whatever works for them. I've literally prescribed clients to get Instagram on their cell phones and do a gratitude walk each morning, taking a picture of flowers, trees, the view, and share it for people that have a little trouble getting, you know, into sort of a energetic that's sort of happy and joyful. And it's amazing to see the results from that.
That's wonderful. And Laura, do you want to address that question?
Yeah. Well, you utilize the Zodiac, of course, and the tools of tarot, but my goal really is to free people of the wheel by pulling them into the center, more the zero point energy. So I, you know, just help them to understand what agreements they have, where they most want to go, and maybe what's blocking it or hiding it. You know, go in terms of their creativity, their passions, their truth, and to give them the courage to, you know, embrace it and to not feel like they have to answer to the system and play the game. I'm not encouraging people to, you know, stop voting or paying their taxes or anything like that. That's obviously their choice. But, you know, just really enhancing the stuff that is unique to them, that makes them authentic. And because if we all did that, that's really what oneness is to me, is diversity and harmony. It's not about, you know, some kind of oneness that just separates us from that. Of course, that would be the New World Order. Now, I also utilize the cards to help them understand that, you know, we're made of all these archetypes, and to not be looking too much outside of the self as far as, I mean, it's sort of an interesting thing, because as I expose a lot of the, you know, hidden history and the extraterrestrial presence, the higher races and the more malevolent forces and entities and ETs that work with our government and affect us in our consciousness, I also encourage people to understand how they relate to it and how we are made of all of it, and that we've been here from the beginning. And so we don't know, you know, for all we know, what we played roles in past lives that connect us to certain agreements. We're holding on to stuff. We have receptors that still allow some of those energies in, and we have those creative forces and archetypes within ourselves. And it's up to us to bring harmony to them, to allow the ones that are positive and more conscious of, on the highest level, the Christ Sophia consciousness, the Shiva Shakti, whatever you want to name it, but more the higher principle of union, to be the dominant force, to allow these sort of Luciferian and more just darker energies to be put in their place and to answer to those energies rather than the other way around. So what I like to do is sort of utilize the larger picture and bring it back to the person, so that they can work the energy on the inside and not be the effect of everything on the outside. So one's taking personal responsibility and sorting it all out, and then emitting a frequency of resolution and wholeness to then, you know, feed into the collective, that allows the collective to sort of feel, you know, something in the air that is not a lower programming or a mind control thing or some level of harassment or attack, but more, you know, something that's inspiring and uplifting, that can, you know, bring a soul into just that grace and ease, moving into that new energy. You know, because the information can get a little bit overwhelming. But I think most are, you know, both are important. So it's just a balancing act, you know, in my outer work as a speaker and then my personal work working with clients. I just sort of, you know, the external goes to the internal goes to the external. And so to me, it helps me balance. And for individuals who are in touch with my work and become my clients, they recognize that, you know, they're not here to talk to me, to be a victim to the stuff I talk about, because I also talk about the inner work. If they're going to call me up, they're going to be doing the inner work, and they're going to be, you know, sorting themselves out on the inside to lose the hooks to some of these darker energies and to wake up what I consider to be, you know, the global immune system, the spirit energy, the thing that rebalances, because, you know, in one body we have diverse organs. They're all very different, just like star systems and different races and beings all over the galaxy and beyond. So, you know, they all have to work together. And the only thing that can bring them into balance is consciousness. It's not the organs that decide. It's our consciousness and our thoughts and our beliefs and our behavior. And that's what's going to really sort things out on the larger stage, as far as you know, these different deities and these fallen angelics and just some of the dramas that have taken place in the in those worlds. To recognize that we're made of all that.
Let me ask you. Okay, I appreciate that. And let me ask you both. This kind of segues into a question that I have about your personal dynamic, and it's up to you how much you want to share of this. But what I was wondering, just in terms of you know, your background, Laura, and the whole Mars, sort of the way the Mars has impacted your own life, possibly your sense of your interaction with various ET visitors, races that have come into your awareness on a personal level. And Dr. Dream, the same thing for you. Is there anything that you noticed or were able to, or became sort of a revelation for the two of you when you, you know, initially met as a couple? Is there any specific sort of dynamic that came from prior lives and or prior awareness of your maybe ET selves, if you want, if you know, that's one way of putting it, you know what I'm saying? Is there anything you want to share about that? Because I think that people in are very curious about couples and the dynamic that goes on between them. And it's a really fascinating dynamic that there's not a lot of couples out there sharing with other people. You know what I'm saying? They share with each other, but they don't necessarily share their dynamic with other people. And I think that in terms of learning the group dynamic and learning what it's like to be more than one individual interacting with other individuals who are starting to realize their star nature, you know, if you will. In other words, their prior lives on other planets as other entities, et cetera, and how that may be impacting their relationships.
Right. Gosh, when I met Dr. Dream, I was leaving the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia, and I mean, I don't like to use the term rock bottom because it sounds like, you know, I pulled myself out of the gutter with a bottle of whiskey, but it almost felt like that. Because I just, the energy, the attacks, just, you know, just overcoming a lot of the Mars stuff and the recruiters. And I mean, I feel like I got over the hump with that, similar to the hump we got over December 21st, but there was a lot of remnants of it. There was just a lot of really difficult energy. And even though I had gotten away from it, I was just in a lot of anxiety and pain. But my whole life, I mean, I wrote a book about, it's called The Grail of Venus. And really it's about finding that inner union, sacred union, Eros, Gamos, really merging the masculine and feminine energies. And I've always known intuitively that to have an outer partner that represents that, you have to do the inner work and you have to really find that within yourself. And I struggled with that because I really felt I needed support being a single parent of twins while almost getting taken off planet, you know, dealing. I mean, I can't even put it into words. It was difficult to survive every day. To me, it was just successful to all be breathing at the end of the day. That to me was like, you know, pat on the back, Laura, you rock, you're, you know, we're all alive. It was hard. It was so hard to mother these children through all this without being able to talk about it. There was no Project Camelot. And you came on the scene right as I was moving away from it. And it like really saved, it just saved my sanity and just really helped me ground. And just, I can't tell you how much it did for me. So I was still in, you know, relationships that just weren't really working. And I just said enough already. It's all about my connection to spirit. It's all about, you know, my children and just doing my mission. And that's fine. Even though there's just a strong intuition about sacred union and the importance of that. It doesn't have to be, you know, in the physical with somebody because it's a personal thing. This is not necessarily about relationship. Sacred union and Eros Gamos is very much an inner process. But anyway, so after leaving the Free Your Mind conference and feeling pretty whacked and attacked and just trying to cope, and back then I was still a drinker, and that was just how I dealt with some of the frequencies. But this time I it was just a little bit more to the extreme, but I was ready to let all that go because it just wasn't serving me. And Dr. Dream wanted to do an interview with me, and I told him I missed the plane. And because I was just such a wreck. And then he's like, oh, well, I'll just pick you up at the airport. I'm like, oh, wow, he's going to pick me up at the airport. This is interesting. And right before I took the plane, my friend Michael Falsetta took me to the airport. And I was leaving my body. I mean, literally, I was leaving my body to the point where he, you know, was crying because I was going. My whole body went numb and I was starting to leave. And I told him, you know, I'm like dying. I'm like, I'm leaving. And he knew it, too. And he was freaking out. And he's like, please don't take her. Please don't take her. And then I was just like, I had to laugh because it was all so dramatic. Here I am like, I'm going to die. I'm like, I mean, I have to catch this plane and I have an interview and everything's just so messed up. And I fell on the pavement And I was really about to go, and I was like, okay, well, at least I need to leave on a happy note. So I was, you know, laughing. And I started to touch pressure points in my back, and I started to do Reiki on me. And with Michael's assistance to anchoring me, I made it. And little did Dr. Dream know that I just went through all that. I mean, I have, like, cement or pavement or dirt on my arms, you know. I mean, my hair's got, like, pebbles in it from the ground. I mean, God knows I'm a mess, and I smell like a bar, and it's just gross, right? And my phone's about to die, and here he is picking me up. I go down the escalator, and he's standing there, and I want nothing to do with relationship. And, you know, he wasn't in that space either, but, you know, we lock eyes, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, I'm just feeling the familiarity. And then I get kind of near his aura, and I'm just, like, walking close to him. I'm like, no, don't walk too close. First of all, you probably smell. And I don't mean to reveal so much. I know I'm kind of putting myself out there a little bit. But anyway, so I felt that draw. But, you know, I get in the car with him, and we're about to do an interview. And I told him, I have to tell you what I've just been through. I'm a wreck. And he just, you know, used tuning forks and really worked the energy with me. And I'm shuffling my cards, and I'm crying, and I'm just trying to work all this energy. And anyway, we did the interview. He really enjoyed it. He was really just – he seemed to be, you know, just really interested in what I had to share. And then he offered to give me a ride home. And in the vehicle, he asked, you know, well, while you're shuffling, why don't you do a reading about us? And I'm thinking, you know, there's no way this man's interested in me, but, you know, maybe he thinks that we're going to collaborate or something. So, sure, I'll do a reading. I thought, you know, he's probably scared, and he needs me to do a reading because he just – I mean, cause it's just, I was not – I did not want to be around anybody. I just – you know. So, anyway, I did a reading, and I'm – all these really powerful cards and the Lover's card, and I'm trying to interpret it without, you know, doing any overlays or making it seem like, you know, we are going to be a couple. But it was very clear, and – you know, just being around his presence and just how grounded he is and how conscious he is and how much he's just been on his path. And, you know, we both determined that we've been devoted to, you know, the divine feminine, masculine, or just working that energy and just really doing the inner work. And what really, you know, brought us together was that personal commitment that we had both made to ourselves. And that's really, you know, part of the compatibility and just, you know, why our dynamic works so much is because we made that personal commitment to our own self, which makes it really easy to be together because, you know, we're always, you know, going in, we're inside and taking responsibility for our part and taking it to a whole other level that a lot of relationships aren't willing to go. And we're just really working the energy, trying to create archetypal harmony, trying to bring the masculine and feminine into a healthy balance. He's trying to, you know, work out the patriarchal stuff. I'm trying to work out, you know, my, you know, own self-destruction tendencies and just whatever, just to strengthen myself again. And just that isolation and just, you know, just bouncing back from a lot of my stuff. And, you know, that mutual commitment to ourselves, you know, created this incredible commitment to each other. And as far as, you know, past lives and former selves that we identify with, I mean, I've always identified, you know, with the Sophia Magdalene energy, not so much in an incarnation form, but just the fact that it's a universal energy we all have access to that I've devoted myself to. So I've felt very much a part of that mythology. And, you know, we all have that connection on a soul level, but I've really, you know, put myself in major focus in that awareness for a really long time in past lives as well. And, you know, felt a familiarity where not that he rescued me in a past life, but he could see me. Because how this guy ended up having feelings for me, able to see through just the way I was, and just really get to the core of my heart and my truth and have interest in me in that moment when I was at my worst, it was really touching. And he came over to my house and he checked in on me. And I'm like, I bet he does this to everybody, you know, and I didn't want to consider myself special in his eyes. And I'm just like, and then I had to interrogate That's him great. To make sure. And I'm like, I'm sure Dr. Dream's not an agent. With a name like Dr. Dream, I really doubt that he wants to take me off planet. So yeah, after really. Interrogating him for a couple months, you know, okay, he's not connected to CIA. He's, you know, because I was just a little bit paranoid still. You know, we really burst out the other side and have dumped so much of the old and are emerging, you know, really strong within ourselves and very complementary for each other. So I'll just end there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Laura. That was delightful. And Dr. Dream, I want to give you a chance to answer also, but I also want to highlight for the listeners, again, if you want to ask questions, put them in the chat, and also you can call in. I'm actually looking to see to make sure that if we have somebody holding for a long time because they go crazy when I do that. So we might have to pick you up in just a minute, Dr. Dream, with your side of the answer. But is somebody holding Ahmad specifically?
No, ma'am. I hung up.
Oh, they did. Okay. They just gave up on us. Okay. That's fine. People can keep, you know, trying to call in and trying to write questions in the chat, and we will try to get to you before the end of the program. So now, Dr. Dream, go right ahead and answer that question for your own self.
Carrie, I have to tell you, I absolutely love this question because we've approached it's like we've really allowed the energies of our relationship and the truth of what it's like for us to be in a relationship. We've really shared that with people. We have a presentation called The Inner Divines, which is all about the inner divine masculine and inner divine feminine, but it's also based on our story and our experience. And so the last time we did this was at the Star Knowledge Conference in Phoenix, and the night before I said to Laura, I said, you know, honey, maybe we should ask them not to film it tomorrow, because we get so vulnerable in what we share, because neither one of us ever wants to be on a pedestal as individuals, and certainly we don't want our relationship put on a pedestal. And that's just the energetic that we approach life with. You know, if it's not truth and it's not transparent, then it's not worth sharing. And I think we've all had the experience of people standing behind this facade of what they think they should portray. And what it does is it's a disservice to anyone that you know, they come into contact with. And yet, isn't that what the whole, you know, celebrity worship and all this is about? And so we're so dedicated to our path and our process that we really open up to sharing it. And I have to say, when I met Laura, I had gone through about a 6 or 8 month process of understanding my own inner divine masculine and inner divine feminine. And at that point, I was pretty much in the mindset of, I think I've played out the whole relationship thing this life. I'm 48, and at this time in my life, it's all about me traveling the world, meeting people, presenting, doing my energetic experiences, and not having any of this other stuff, which maybe I've seen as a distraction or this, that, and the other. But I got to tell you, as I watched her come down that escalator, and it's not about the, you know, what my eyes saw, although what my eyes saw is amazing, it's really, really about what my heart felt. And in that moment, because it was the last thing that I expected to experience was any draw. I mean, I was just, you know, Ilya, who had from Portal to Ascension, who had been assisting me for about a year, said, you've got to interview Laura Eisenhower for the radio show we had. And I said, yeah, I don't know anything about her, but you know, if you think she's good to interview, let's reach out to her. And I mean, that was it for me. I sat in the front seat of the car. We did the interview at the Denny's parking lot outside of LAX. And I mean, she told you the shape she was in. And this was 2 years ago. She was talking pretty fast back then. My jaw was on the floor mat. I had her passion, her energy, the depth of her emotional connection to Gaia, to the energies of this planet, to her mission. I was so touched and inspired, and I mean,
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream. Very fun to listen to your answers to that. So area code 203, if you're on the line, we can certainly take your question now.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Carrie. I've been following both of you for many, many years and love your work and really like some of the kind of touch points that you hit upon and what's really happening in the world. I had a couple questions. One is, Laura, you had mentioned you're on a computer a lot, kind of in bed and caught between the third or fourth or fifth dimension and somewhere in between and not really relating to where things are right now on this planet. I kind of feel the same way, but what do you recommend for detoxing from chemtrails, radiation from cell phones, computers, and Fukushima that you've had some experience or knowledge about?
Well, I think, you know, wheatgrass, green food, clay, you know, things that just absorb toxins, things that just, you know, can gather up heavy metals. Gosh, I mean, fasting's a good idea. I've fasted. Really, you know, Dr. Dream can answer this one because he talks about it a lot in his talks, but I'll just touch upon it just real quick as far as what works for me. Essential oils. Essential oils are amazing because it's really about, you know, building the biofield. What essential oils do is it just keeps our frequency very high, and I just want to let him answer because he is just really all about the essential oils. You know, the thing is, more than anything else, it's just the frequency we hold. In the lower density, when we hold our emotional body or our mental body in the lower density energy, it's much more easy to absorb toxins and to be affected by everything. But as our friend David in an interview we did with him reminded me of, because I've said this before, the physics are different in higher dimensions. We are able to transmute this stuff so quickly. We're not as easily affected by it. Just everything is different. So I just keep working the energy. I go real deep, and I go real into really, you know, deep zones, because it's not about getting really ungrounded and leaving the body, but going into deep processes and allowing that to just flow and cycle higher energy into my being to just keep the regenerative forces going. It's like a death cycle, but at a rapid pace, because it keeps one moving forward, sort of like an engine, because we are lifting the veils between life and death. And so I just focus on that frequency. And laughing and, you know, just doing things that support my body. Like I said, the clays, the green foods. But I don't like to be too strict either, because that creates stress. And that's where the essential oils come in. I mean, literally, I smell these oils and I say to Dr. Dream, wait a second, aren't I supposed to be worried about something right now? Because 5 minutes previous to that, I was. And I just smell this and it just like it really I can't tell people enough how important it is, because, you know, this comes straight from the earth, and that's what works with us most. We have receptors to this earth energy. Our souls are made of earth, air, fire, water. We are made of, you know, all these essences, and our bodies need to connect with that. Like animal spirits. I mean, even animal spirits, we're made of all these energies of nature. Nature is the soul, and our souls are a microcosm of that. So it's very important to work with earth energy, very pure earth energies. And that's what I recommend. And keep the frequency high, laugh, and just recognize that we are heading into higher energies all the time. And anything that tries to yank you away from that is a deception. You can just command your space to just not allow it in and just keep moving forward.
Laura, what particular essential oils can you cite as an example, or Dr. Dream, would you cite as an example that what Laura was talking about, that you just kind of close your eyes and smell it, and it gives you this sense of calmness? And I do have one follow-up question after you answer it.
Perfect. Well, doTERRA, and he'll tell you all about doTERRA, an incredible product.
So yeah. We're really...
I use it.
Nice.
Oh, excellent. We're really focused on... what it takes. Laura mentioned the biofield, which is the energetic field around every human. And we're really focused on what it takes to always have a strong biofield. And so we address this on many different levels, because we have to. We address it on the emotional level. Where are you in your emotional body? Because that has everything to do with a constricted or an expansive energetic field around you. And the amazing thing about the essential oils is that they have the ability to raise our frequency, our body frequency. It's literally they've developed equipment that tests all this to raise our body frequency literally at the snap of a finger. And so if you send me an email, if you go to drdream.com, my email address is there. I'll send you a link to this presentation that I've been doing, and I keep adding more to, called the Alchemy of Life, Raising the Frequency of our Daily Lives, because there's some great information in there, and it's available to all of us right now. And so this is, you know, and then the other thing about it is be careful what you own, you know, in your mind. I mean, don't look at the chemtrails and say to yourself, I'm being poisoned right now, because you'll be like these people I see that are pulling, you know, these fibers out of their skin. So be very careful where you go when you see these things. And if you're looking at chemtrails and you're constricting inside, you need to do a little bit of inner work so that's not happening, because when you're doing that, it's holding an energy inside your body that really isn't what you want. Like energy attracts like energy. If you're looking at chemtrails and you're saying, this is terrible for me and I'm the victim to shadow government and Illuminati, whatever's doing this, you're really drawing that energy in. So it's really important we take our power back and we don't own what we don't want to, you know, fully experience or draw to ourselves.
Well, it's really interesting that you're saying that about the chemtrails, because about 2 years ago, I used to look up at them, and here in Fairfield County, Connecticut, it's unbelievable what we experienced last summer, but I used to, like, raise my middle finger and swear at these airplanes going across, but now I look up, and I feel sorry for these people. I really do. It's a shift that occurred. Laura, you probably know what I'm talking about, but it's really interesting that you said that, because that's how I felt for a long time now.
Right.
You know, the important thing about the oils, let me just say this, is that they will, if you get the right oils, and we really are huge fans of doTERRA, but make sure, if you don't get doTERRA, just make sure you get therapy grade oils, but they will, like, literally force the toxins out of your body. We have one that supports the respiratory system, and I'm not going to get into the results right now, but I mean, the results are incredible. So anyone can reach out to us. We suggest different protocols with oils and different tools and modalities based on what people are going through, what their challenges are, their core issues. We use astrology and all sorts of other tools to help us, you know, kind of prescribe what's going to assist someone in this part of their journey the most.
Do you have a website where you can refer these people to go to purchase these oils, or do you have a particular place you go to purchase them so you can encourage people to go?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, healthyfamilynow.com, we have links to products to assist people from the damaging effects of EMFs. We have the essential oil links and everything like that. But don't hold back. I mean, my cell phone number is on all my sites. Don't hold back from giving me a call or sending me a message to get more information, because we don't want anyone to just blindly follow what we say or anything like that, but we want to get the right information out there so people can make an informed decision. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and then walking around barefoot must be pretty good part of your protocol too, I would guess, right?
Yeah,
I love this whole concept of earthing and getting back to what's important and you know, losing the soles of our shoes, so to speak, to give the soles of our feet, you know, an actual connection with the earth. I think we've, in the concrete jungle and everything else, we've lost that. And so, yeah, I think that's vitally important.
Definitely.
Carrie, I have one question for you. I live very close to the whole Sandy Hook thing, and what we're hearing and what we're experiencing is not what we're being told. There's something very, very odd going on with the whole thing, and the facts don't add up. I'd like your take on the whole thing with Sandy Hook, if you don't mind.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, it would be fabulous for you to send me any information that you're getting on a local level, because that would augment the investigations we've been doing. But generally speaking, there seems to be, obviously a lot of false information being put out on purpose. I believe that there was a definite event that happened. The information we're getting is that there was a three-man, I guess, possibly Israeli or another, now they're saying that they spoke another language. We don't know what it is. We're trying to find out. In fact, I'm about to put a video on my site, a short excerpt that was sent to me. We're trying to determine. It sounds like it might be Romanian, some kind of language being spoken. There were three men that were photographed from a Russian satellite, apparently. The evidence is that the child, the young boy who said to have done it, was actually killed the day before, as was right. The mother. And that whoever, you know, then he was dressed up and just delivered to the scene, I suppose. This whole thing is been so convoluted. I think some of the stuff about actors is wrong-ended and incorrect. There may be right. some aspects of that are correct. I think one of the energy things is that's going on in terms of a magical act that is then supposed to draw your energy to the dark side is the very fact that they're trying to, and I wrote about this on my blog, the idea that you have to hold two or more contradictory pieces of information in your head at the same time. What that does to people, especially if they're not used to like having a higher vibration and really thinking for themselves, it actually freezes their brain so that they no longer want to think about it at all. And it just throws them off. So you have to understand that this is part of what they're doing. They don't want people to think about it. They want them to dwell on it in confusion. So what I would just say is one of the things to do is simply send positive energy to the parents of whatever children were either, you know, abducted and taken to underground bases and or Mars and, you know, may not be dead at all. And the other ones that may have been sacrificed, because human sacrifice is something that is very, very strong in the whole reptilian side of things, that is running things on the planet and has been for centuries, although they're losing their grip, and that's very obvious. but things are continuing along those lines. I got some recent, I mean, I don't want to dominate this actually because I have guests, but there's more to it and I'm still investigating this. Suffice to say, I will try to do another show on this in the near future, but thank you for your other questions, because I think this information about radiation and chemtrails and how to deal with it, very good information coming from Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream about this, the essential oil side of it as well. I just want to say that in terms of raising your vibration and understanding that your body is under your command, it's not under the command of the people that do anything on this planet. And so that you can decide what it is you let into your field and what it is you just don't. And from my point of view, I think if you listen to the Aradia interview and you understand that these people are living off of radiation, you understand that the human being, we don't know all the capabilities of what it means to be human. Too much has been kept from people. So that you can decide what you're capable of. And it may be that you are adept at dealing with all kinds of things and that you don't have to age and you don't have to do all the things that they tell you have to do. It's more about breaking the programming. And once you do that, then anything new that they want to throw in your face, it's just their old stuff. You just have to continue on and do your own thing. And I think I don't want to continue here, but thank you for caller very much. Let's see if we have another caller or someone in the chat room, or if something that Laura or Dr. Dream want to talk about.
We have no other callers.
Okay, thank you very much. So Laura and Dr. Dream, are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Okay, very good. So is there anything else maybe you want to go into in terms of, you know, we have, let's see, about little less than 15 minutes on the show. And just in terms of your thoughts on maybe even carrying further what I was just talking about in terms of someone is asking a question here. Why is it obvious that the reptilians are losing their grip? I actually think the harder they try, the more evidence there is that they can't keep hold of us. They don't know what to do. They can't put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. It's really interesting. It's like it's the what was described to me by somebody at one point was it's like holding a ball that's filled with air under the water. Have you ever tried to do that?
Yeah.
It won't stay under the water. It keeps wanting to pop back up to the surface. So it's kind of like that. That's what they're trying to do with us. They're trying to keep that ball under the water and in, you know, dumbed down and depressed and so on and so forth. When that ball realizes that it is eternal and that it can do anything, there's no keeping it down. There simply is none. And it becomes obvious in your own life, the more you sort of embrace that, how it manifests. And that's why I speak the way I speak, because I've seen it in my own life, so I know it to be true. But you've got to experience it to know it. And I think that Dr. Dream and Laura could address this as well. So go right ahead.
Yeah, I know that they're losing their grip. It's I think that we're all the ones that can determine that based on the way we feel energetically and the things that we sense. And if we're sensitive enough and we're intuitive enough and we've been aware of what's been happening, it becomes obvious. I mean, it's also similar to trying to put a lid on a volcano. I mean, there's a force within us that is so intelligent and so infinite and so wise. And I mean, we have memories of that. And I mean, they've taken advantage of us and the fact that we've been reincarnated and the fact that we have amnesia. But you know, all that is being restored because it's just gone dormant, but it hasn't been destroyed. And, you know, our experience and just our growth, in these incarnation cycles of the trial and error of karma, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I mean, was part of our contract to go through this to understand negative polarity. And the negative polarity has played the role of the dark teacher. And I don't even like to use that term anymore because it's been extremely unfair with all the manipulations and mind control. It hasn't really been about choice between good and evil. It's been about being able to break free of incredible manipulation. And it's been an incredible test. I don't think it's been set up this way to test us, but this is just what ended up happening, and it became a test. And we're triumphant because we are connected to our primordial parents. We have that inheritance. It's in our DNA, and consciousness is what upgrades it and what awakens it and what restores it. And that trumps everything. It trumps genetics. It trumps races and belief system. And, you know, this conquer and divide mentality and all these wars and false flags are to just separate us from each other. The power of unity is what they've tried to keep us from. There's a feedback loop.
604, shut off your radio, please.
Yeah. But anyway, it's obvious to me, and I've really felt under, you know, when it wasn't obvious, when I knew that they did have a grip, I could feel it. It was hard to survive and even breathe. So to be where I'm at is a good omen to see all of us coming together, exposing the truth and the amount of interest that is out there, and the fact that we're not getting killed for this anymore. You know, because I even told the Mars recruiters, you know, you've done this before, and I'll keep incarnating, and I'll get, you know, more and more pissed off each time. Death is not an obstacle. I mean, death, it's a joke. I mean, we are a part of what's behind, you know, what's in the unseen world as much as in the seen world, and we are so limited by thinking that this is all we got. I know they've lost the grip, so it's a knowingness that can never be ripped away from me, and that's all I can say.
Can we have the caller mute themselves until we actually take their call? Dr. Dream, did you want to say something?
I mean, I love what Laura said. I love how you know, even introduced this question. And I'm just, it's the human spirit, just no matter how it's been repressed and the programmings and everything else, it will rise up above all this. I don't know exactly how it's going to look or the form that it's going to take, but I have a tremendous amount of belief and faith in the opportunity that is available now for the collective, or really at this moment for the awake and conscious and aware collective. And, you know, I just think we're in a good spot. You know, that it's not easy street, but we're in a much better position than we have been.
I just want to say one thing. The mother goddess energy, and it's not about, you know, a female form as much as it's about the cosmic and earth body and the underworld womb, the mother womb, the cosmic womb. She birthed all this stuff. So this being in alignment with the galactic plane is being in alignment again, having the earth access right in alignment, which means all this energy is available to us. This trumps everything that these lower entities are trying to do. I mean, they've been trying to play God, but we've triumphed because we've stayed you know, in the process enough to recognize what we've needed to wake up to, and enough of us have woken up. And now it's just about it just, you know, being like wildfire, and it just being contagious, and it just, it's just, and that's what it's doing. It's rippling out, and it's just starting to really move stuff, and it can't be stopped. It's already begun.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Absolutely. And that was an answer to the question about the reptilian sort of losing their grip. It is quite interesting to watch the struggle continue. What I have to say is another thing, and you can both address this, which is what I'm noticing is that the dark side is having to reveal themselves more and more. And so in essence, when they reveal themselves more, they reveal their sort of vulnerability and inconsistency, and you begin to see how when they try something and it doesn't work, they're sort of made, I guess if you will, more human at the same time, because in essence, they're just not, you know, they're not successful, they're not making it. And in many ways, whenever you see people around you waking up, it's just more indication that they're not, what they're doing is not working. And they have to keep reapplying and reapplying the chemtrails. They can't just do it once. They have to do it every day without fail. And when they stop, then people start, you know, bursting out like sunflowers and, you know, going out and smelling the flowers and having a wonderful day and so on and so forth. In other words, or even in spite of it, they're having a wonderful day. And it just must be really depressing being on the dark side right now. Because, you know, because, I mean, I've seen it. I have to say, I'm seeing it all around me. And I saw it in Egypt. And, you know, it doesn't matter how hard they try. The light sort of supersedes it. Like in Egypt, they tried to keep people out of all the places. And they put out all this propaganda saying how bad, it, you know, the rioting would be and how bad this and that. And then we, the people that did go and to braved through the nonsense, had like the most amazing time. And we had like more space and more room to meditate and more peace and more, you know, more of everything. So in the end, it was a good thing for us. You know, I mean, I, you know, it's really fascinating. And the people that were meant to be there were there. And I think, maybe that's a lesson, you know, to humanity, that no matter how dire the prediction, whatever it is, that if you can kind of let go of holding on so tightly to, oh, we've got to survive, oh, we've got to have our food, we've got to have this, whatever, you know, and just realize that, hey, it's going to be there for you. You know, if you just allow it, it will come, and maybe not grabbing on so tightly. You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, it's just like a doctor saying, oh, you'll never be able to walk again. And how, you know, of course that being can walk again if they really want to walk. We have to believe in our power. We have to believe in the fact that we can make miracles happen. And we can't just like sit there and listen to everybody around us because they're in that programming of limitation. And that's the thing. It's we're magical divine beings. And the more we can step into that and not fear it, and the more we can step into our power and face that darkness without thinking that it's evil, but standing as the fertile soil and creativity that is just abundant. It's just, you know, people are going to just feel liberation and lose the addiction to some of the, I mean, some people just don't want to let go. I mean, they just still want to be a victim. They just still want to feel like there's something wrong, but it's almost, but it's there. It certainly is there.
Absolutely. Dr. Dream, do you want to say something to that?
I don't really have anything to add. I mean, I'm just in such a place of encouragement. And I guess, you know, part of my thing is that's the filter, that's one of the filters I choose to look at things with and attract toward me. I look in my moment-to-moment activities in the outer world, I look for inspiration. I look for people that are in their passion, that are actively sharing their gifts. And I'm seeing it more and more. And I'm seeing more and more people stepping up to it. And it starts with the dissatisfaction of where they're at or how they're currently living, and then the realization that something bigger and more expansive and more heart-centered and more in the true nature of reality waiting for them. And that gives me what I need to get out of bed in the morning and go through my day. You know, I couldn't do this without those examples.
That's awesome. I just want to add, I was tuning into the Dark Forces, and I think that they're saying to themselves, how the hell did they pull this off to the point where they're almost maybe even giving us a little bit of respect that we've been able to actually do what we've done and get through the other side. I feel that because some have played the dark role for a reason, to be a catalyst. Others are just plain evil and they just don't care. But I feel almost some kind of respect and just that they're shocked on some level, because like you said, you almost feel sorry for them. They've been just working so hard to screw us up. And, and now they're just like, damn, they're good.
Yeah. I mean, it is a choice. I think that people can make that choice. I think that's the bottom line, which doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy for people. Sometimes they've chosen a long time ago and they have to kind of live through what they chose. Realizing that that's kind of what they chose and they need to kind of, sort of deal with it. But at the same time, I think that there is that thing where if you look for the opportunity sometime during the day or even at night to allow for something new to happen to you, to come into your world, to some new ideas, some new fresh way of looking at something. In other words, I think that attracts, it will attract it to you. And understanding how powerful we are in terms of we co-create reality, which means that we will determine what comes our way in a big way. In other words, a chemtrail can go all over the sky, can go everywhere, but can actually not go into your field if that's mm-hmm. what you wish and what you put out there. So I also wanted to say that there's something about water, and I've noticed it lately, and I think that there are more and more people sort of tuning into the power of water and water that's in motion, such as in rivers and lakes and in the ocean and so on. When water's in motion, it is actually clearing itself as it goes, and it has powerful energetics just by virtue of that. And as people will know, they're now selling water that has been, you know, in motion and so on. And do either of you sort of, have you gotten into that?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, especially with the predominance of water in the astrological stuff. I mean, it just allows things to be fluid, and it's about the purification. And we're 70% water. And, you know, the detoxing has to be in our emotional bodies as well and the stuff we're hanging on to. Because we can still be victims, just like somebody who's still hanging on to a bad relationship, like what their ex did to them, and they just are never able to move on. We got to move on from what we've been through and allow the waters to be purified, and because that'll flow and it'll break down everything. And the frequency that we hold, you know, is the ultimate attractor, just like you said. So, yeah, getting the elements back in sync with each other and in their highest expression.
Just we're going to be wrapping up the show very quickly. Someone is asking Laura about Val Valiant Thor. Do you want to say anything about that?
Well, yeah, that was a being from Venus that supposedly met with Eisenhower and Nixon. And Eisenhower was very interested in sharing what he had to say, but the government shut him down. That's what I've heard. But of course, I wasn't there. But at a conference, I met somebody that whose husband is in jail, who was a tour guide for Valiant Thor and validated his presence. But I don't want to go out too much about it. You can contact me. But Dr. Dream has some thing I know he wants to share as well before we close.
Thank you. Go right ahead, Dr. Dream.
I think just really wanted to you know, give some touch points of how people can follow up with us and find out more. Laura's site is cosmicgaiasophia.com, and then drdream.com, drdream.com is sort of a jumping off point for a tour of love and